Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from sunny Chicago is Ted Bangs. Ted is a partner at Scharf Banks Marmer, a former compliance officer and a frequent speaker at SCCE meetings. Ted, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure, Adam.
So today we're going to be discussing third party and really due diligence, not in the conventional I'm hiring a vendor sense, but in terms of acquisitions and what you need to know. So Ted, let's start. What in general does an organization need to do in terms of due diligence in this current era that we're living in?
Well, I think that the first topic here is to make sure that when there's a consideration of doing business with a new partner or acquiring a company, you know, compliance has to have a seat at the table. And it's been said many times, but it is true here now. You can't just expect something to happen in a company and then dump it on compliance to make it all good. But compliance also has an obligation to update its due diligence and understand that the questions it needs to ask need to evolve so that it's tracking the current risks that really can make a difference in whether some business transaction or relationship will succeed. And I guess one of the first things that compliance should be sensitive to is when there is some business person who's insisting on a truncated timetable, or they want to rush a transaction to completion just to get it done. That's often a signal that maybe there's something that they don't want you to find out, but more likely it's just they're not thinking about the possible risks. One of the key attributes of a talented compliance officer is someone who can make the point that there needs to be a thorough job of due diligence without so annoying the business people that they try to bypass compliance. So there's a fine art to doing enough work, but not so much that you drive the client crazy. But when you see that red flag of something being rushed through and normal procedures not being followed, you have to stop and ask yourself a question. Is something going on? Or even if there's no intent to avoid any sort of control, is there a risk that something might happen? Now, there's all sorts of examples in the news. I was just looking at the problem that Boeing has had with its new airplane. And so the question is asked, as there are dribs and drabs of stories coming out about what went on inside of Boeing, and of course we don't know the exact answer yet, but one might think, was there a push to get that plane out the door and certified without doing all the necessary due diligence? Obviously, we don't know, but if one were looking at something like that, where you had some sort of process and shortcuts were being used, particularly ones related to safety, one might ask the question, all right, are we exposing the company to risks? You know, and the risks would include not only the risk of killing people with an unsafe product, but of killing the reputation of the company when people are no longer comfortable using its products. And obviously, a crash of a jet is dramatic and attracts attention, but the principle really can apply in any business situation where you're dependent on your reputation. And are you willing to roll the dice to get some project out the door at the risk of damaging the reputation?
Yeah, and certainly there, it's a great example of it doesn't really matter what the industry is. I mean, I think every business in large measure relies upon its reputation. Okay. When looking at an organization, preferably at a deliberate pace, what should you be looking at in terms of the organization's own compliance efforts in this third party that you're examining?
Well, one of the things that I think is important, if you're looking at, for example, a proposed acquisition, you have to ask, how do you get any comfort that you're not acquiring a huge liability? And a lot of companies will do a deep dive into finances, but not do the equivalent examination of compliance programs or compliance risks. And so it's important that you take a look at what compliance program your target company has had in place, and things like their history of litigation and regulatory problems, problems of peer group companies, just so you get a picture on what risks might be attached to this business that might not show up on their balance sheet that the auditors are looking at very carefully. And there are other things that would go on inside a company. You know, has their method of doing business been altered because of changes in laws or regulations or even public sentiment? You know, we see that companies have done business by imposing certain restrictions on employees. You know, you can't go work for a competitor, or I won't try to hire people from competitors. And that was very common in the past. And businesses existed with a certain assumption of how they'd be able to find employees. But now we see that there are attacks on agreements not to hire one another's employees, restrictive covenants on ability to work for a competitor are being attacked, and in some places they're not allowed at all. Attacks on use of arbitration clauses, which were often viewed with favor as a simple alternative to litigation. And you know, think about something like, what about rules about prohibiting use of marijuana by employees? Sounds, you know, maybe reasonable, but maybe changing as laws throughout the United States change. What if you're acquiring a franchise business? Will the franchisor be liable for the activities of franchisees? So the models of business that have been done in the past are changing, and this is the kind of thing that needs to be examined carefully.
Yeah, definitely not something you want to just pick up off the shelf, dust off, and just run with. Now, When looking at another entity as part of an acquisition, how big a risk is social media activity? We hear a lot about it from the perspective of individuals posting things they shouldn't. Is that also a risk for organizations as a whole?
Social media has become part of the marketing and communications foundation of almost every company nowadays. It's just accepted. This is the way you do business. And therefore, a company has to assume that it is going to be responsible for what goes out on social media. So in the early days of e-commerce, I mean, even sort of before social media was around, companies would engage supposed specialists in online selling who just bombarded all sorts of people with online ads, because the challenge there was how many email addresses you can get. And that has morphed into a different form here on social media, which is how many fake email addresses can you get so that it looks like something is way more popular than it is. The FTC has recently started enforcing in this area against social media marketing consultants who supposedly are providing influencers to help promote a product or a service online that isn't really true. So a company has to look at its social media activities, not only for the traditional advertising type of compliance, like being honest and accurate, but also for whether there's anything specific about social media that increases the risks. And I think this is sort of the indicator of when we have new technology of any kind, you have to think broadly about the benefits of the technology as well as the risks. And so we're seeing related problems with artificial intelligence, that's algorithms that are used to do a lot of things. Facebook got into a lot of trouble with its algorithms because it just accepted certain things online without any human being looking at what was coming in, whether it was from a real person or a Russian troll farm was doing all sorts of mischief. But I think that's the question. If you're looking at the new technology, you have to stop and say, all right, is this reasonable? Is it controllable? Can you audit what the technology is doing? Can you explain the decisions that the technology that is doing? Anything that you have the computer doing without a person being involved at least needs to be supervised. And if someone challenges the decision, you have to be able to explain what was done. And also the other part of it on technology is we just heard a report that a couple of currency traders at Citigroup and JP Morgan attempted to fool the technology that those firms were using to as part of their compliance program. So by sending text messages that couldn't, where the illegal content couldn't be detected by the compliance tools that were used to review those messages, they were able to perpetrate a conspiracy. So if you use technology for compliance, you have to really test to make sure that it's going to be effective.
Wow, and never underestimate human ingenuity at trying to get around any kind of control. Now, you sort of led down to one area that made me think about it, which is the products and services that any organization provides. They're going to create risks themselves. What should the compliance team be looking at in terms of the clients, in terms of the compliance risk from the entity's products and services?
Yeah, I think there is a need for a little bit of subject matter expertise depending on the product or service. You can talk about the general components of a compliance and ethics program, but very often there are specific regulations, specific risks that you really need someone who has knowledge in the field. One example that was in the news recently was a company called Sterigenics, which had a fairly lucrative business of sterilizing medical equipment, something that we all depend on, and so we certainly hope our doctor uses sterile equipment. But to do so, it uses a chemical known as ethylene oxide, which is very dangerous. And apparently, the Sterigenics was purchased by an investment company, ideally that it would be a great profit opportunity. But then news came out about releases of this gas into the atmosphere causing allegedly local cancer hotspots, a lot of commotion in the press. Company recently shut down a major facility. And so the question is, in the run up to acquire this company, did someone do the due diligence about the dangers of this chemical and whether the company had adequate controls in place to control the risk? I mean, it is possible to use this stuff without hurting people, but allegedly the company didn't have adequate controls in place and discharged much more of this into the atmosphere than they should have. We don't know the answer to that, but it's the kind of thing where there will be litigation for years, a lot of adverse publicity, and certainly the people who bought it have suddenly seen a reduction in the value of the company, and perhaps, and I don't know the details here, but perhaps because they didn't adequately research the controls here when they were looking for an opportunity to make a very lucrative investment.
Wow. Well, Ted, unfortunately, we're out of time for today. I want to thank you for sharing these insights with us, and I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.